It is great to have you on the Family Goals Podcast with Davey Pollock and Pastor Jay. I'm Jolyn House, and on this podcast, we want to encourage you to grow closer to God, to strengthen your marriage, and to inspire your family to reach its highest potential. I would like to highlight a ministry that I have loved for years, Compassion International. Compassion is an incredible organization that is all about releasing children from poverty in Jesus' name. They currently serve over 2 million children and their families in some of the most poverty-stricken areas of the world, and here is my favorite part. All of this is happening in the local church. Compassion is all about equipping the local church so every single child is cared for by the leaders in their community. As a pastor, I found Compassion to be a strategic part of our global mission strategy. As a church, we've incorporated Compassion into our focus on Honduras. Compassion made it easy for everyone in our church to put their faith in action by caring for a child in need. I would encourage anyone listening to learn more about Compassion, sponsor a child, and release them from poverty in Jesus' name. Visit compassion.com/family goals to sponsor a child today. In this episode, Davey and Pastor Jay discuss Brian Montgomery's horrific story of how he lost his son. Here's the story.
Have I ever let you down? Have I ever showed up and not brought it? Considering I never know what the heck you're talking about.
You are bringing your A game every single week.
Appreciate that. And if we flash back in Family Goals to season two with Tony Dungy, that is the definition of non-A game. That was your C to D game.
Do we always have to bring up the Tony Dungy episode?
It was like, awesome. I think everybody who's been listening to us for a while, they probably love hearing that because Pastor Jay literally, how do I put this nicely? He kind of soiled himself.
I was a little flat that day.
It was a bad day.
I was a little flat. You know, Monday mornings, I'm kind of worn out. I'm kind of tired. I think that particular, I can't remember what had happened.
I think it was a Thursday, but yeah, that's okay.
The old Tony Dungy episode. So Jennifer and I were watching this comedian. I can't remember her name, and she was talking about the love languages, and
oh boy,
and it was really she was being real funny about it.
Yeah,
and she was like, you know, my husband's love language is this, and if I don't do that, I mean, the next thing you know, he's going to be at the water fountain and work, and something's going to come up. I don't know if I can say that.
That took an unexpected turn. I just spilled my water a little bit. Like, all right, back to family goals. This is a family family affair. We apologize.
Can we bleep that out?
For ESPN purposes, that would be called something that we call card 99. When you have card 99, that means they hand you the card that says, I am sorry for what I just said. My actions do not represent the company. What I said, I apologize for. That was...
And by the way, I butchered that joke.
That was... well, you know what? Speaking of not bringing your A game, there you go. We started off with it. And
the whole... Yeah, I butchered that joke.
Take two.
Take two. Let's go again. All right.
So how was students this week?
It was great. It was great. We didn't talk about that, by the way.
Weren't you speaking at students?
Yeah.
Did it go good?
Yeah, it went well.
Man, it's awesome. Well, I've noticed you're doing a lot of speaking lately.
It's been fun.
The David Pollock speaking tour.
It's not that.
It seems like you're speaking at different places, different churches.
If you want to hear something even crazier, I've been in the works and in the mix talking to one of my buddies that worked at actually ESPN about, he wants to write my book. And so we've been going through all kinds of things. And I just said, I was like, listen, man, I am not the least bit interested in writing a book about my life, like in my story. If I can write a book about my faith and we can inspire people and motivate people, I'm in. But I don't care about the stupid stories about me. And like, that's not what I'm interested in. And we went through, we talked for, I think he laughed at the end. He was like, you were worried about like stories and some content. And he said, it's been 31 minutes and I got 30 stories. He was like, this is going to be the easiest book I've ever written. So we've been working on that, doing that. But I think that with the speaking and this, and actually mentioned, you know, family goals, and just, I think this podcast has had a lot to do with it, because a lot of people have heard me speaking that. Wait a minute, he knows English. Okay, to see me on game day, like, man, I don't even know what language he's speaking. So,
well, I do think it's helped let people know that you're a strong, outspoken Christian, and maybe they didn't know that about you before, but now your platform has increased. People are asking you to speak. I'm just wondering, why are people not? Like, why are they not inviting Pastor Jay?
I've actually been asked to come and, like, hey, they're like, next time you should bring Pastor Jay. And I was like, how about that? How cool is that? That somebody actually said, where when I went to one of these, they were like, yeah, you and Pastor Jay would be a good tag team. So,
well, we are a good tag team.
Yeah. I think it works somehow. It somehow works. Fits together. You know, I think you bring the organization and understanding what we're doing, and I bring whatever it is I bring.
I think
an organization.
You're pretty much the talent and I'm the eye candy.
Oh, Woj love that. Oh, I love that.
He says bring me often.
Yeah, bring me along on your speaking tour. I'll just be the eye candy for your little tour.
Get more women there.
Yeah, Pastor Jay's going to be there.
Oh, let's keep it PG, Pastor Jay. You've already screwed up the first part of the podcast. Let's keep it PG, dog.
Well, guess we'll have to bring our wives with us. Let's talk about what I want to talk about today, and that is the number one fear of parents. What do you think the number one fear of parents is?
I mean, losing their kids.
Yeah, something bad happened to your kids. Yeah. I mean, of course, losing a child would be the worst case scenario. But I don't think parents want any. We don't want our kids to get hurt. We don't want them to get sick. We don't even want them to get their feelings hurt. Like we don't want anything bad happening. And we hear all these horror stories of bullying at school, the dangers of the internet, kid being kidnapped, human trapped. They're like I think parents can go down worst case scenario
rabbit holes
in our mind of the worst possible thing. Now Lindsay sent us that podcast of the Allie Beth Stuckey.
I think you need to tell that, and I think you're going to, but I think you need to share that just because, like, how fast it can happen. I mean, with our kids, with technology, with people's, and this stinks, but this is a reality, but with people's ability now to do things so quickly and things to happen so quickly and things to happen bad so quickly. And I think we got to be very careful. And here's something that's simple. Like, I don't buy into a lot of stuff and I don't listen to a lot of stuff. And so I don't know a lot of things that are going on, but like my mom will flip out about Leah going to the bathroom by herself. And she'll tell me all these stories about X, Y, and Z. Well, we're an academy, and I'm like, go to the bathroom. Like, we're in one part of the story. No, you got to go with her, you know? And I think that the
But I think with you, probably more so than just an average person.
Yeah, and I don't think about any of that. I don't think about the little part of it. I don't think about the big part of it. I'm way more inclined to go, just go to the bathroom, come back and find us. But I will say with my wife now, it bothers my wife, so it's important to me. Like, my mom says that I don't necessarily listen as much, but like, if my wife says that she wants me to go with her and she wants me to stand outside the door, I'm gonna stand outside the door. I mean, if it's important to her, it's important to me. And but tell this story, man, because this is
what we're referring to is a podcast, Allie Beth Stuckey's podcast. I can't remember the name of it, but the title of the podcast is Sextortion Scheme, and Brian Montgomery is sharing his story of how he lost his son. So why don't you tell? You want to tell the story? Or you want me to tell the story?
I'd rather you tell it.
You'd rather me tell it?
Yeah.
So
I can help fill in, but
so I've only heard the podcast one time. But Brian Montgomery, that I think they lived in Texas. They live on a farm. And it's like his son's 16 years old, like a normal high school kid. Like, they hunt, they fish. He played on the high school football team.
Your kid. When you're listening, this is your kid. Just like listen.
A Christian family.
Yeah.
Like, they go to church. They're a good Christian, solid Christian family. Tuck the kids in bed, pray with the kids, you know, all this stuff. And they wake up the next morning, normal day. Mom and dad are going to get the kids ready for school, and their 16-year-old son is dead in his bedroom, and he'd shot himself. And so then they start doing all this investigation of what had happened, and long story short, he had his phone in his bed with him. Some girl messages him on Instagram, said, "Hey, how are you?" Kind of, they have a mutual friend that they kind of knew, and that they begin to talk on the phone. They begin flirting a little bit on the phone, and the girl says, "Well, do you want to mess around?" And he says, "Well, what do you mean?" And she kind of starts, you know, sent some pictures of herself, and next thing you know, they're on video chat, which I didn't even know Instagram could do this, but apparently, like, FaceTiming, like, you can see, he can see her, and she can see him, and they have some type of sexual encounter over the phone. And then the next thing you know, the person on the other end isn't this girl, isn't this 16-year-old girl. It's somebody in Nigeria.
Using technology
and basically saying, "We've got you recorded." Yep. Sends him video of himself, obviously very...
Doing stuff
he wouldn't want anybody to see. Mm-hmm. And then they start threatening him, "Well, we're going to start sending this, we're going to send this out on Instagram to your friends, to your family, unless you send us $1,000. And he's like, I'm 16, I don't have any money. And so it seems like they start sending this video. They're going down his Instagram friend list.
And like it makes it look
like an alphabet. And it makes it look
it
like.
It makes it look like he sent it to his mom, right? Yeah. Like it makes it look like he sent it so directly to his mom. So he thinks that his mom's going to see this in the morning when he wakes up.
And so, and they're like, worst case, he's like, "Well, I don't have any money. I'm just going to kill myself." And then the person on the other end says, "Well, go ahead and do it.
You should.
You should, you know, because you're worthless. Nobody's going to forgive you." And so he goes down into his dad's office, opens the safe, gets a revolver, comes back up, and kills himself. And the crazy thing to me, because when I first saw the title of the episode, I was thinking this was something that was going to take months and months and months to unfold. But that entire situation happens in like 2 hours, like, and because through the phone, through Instagram, like, I didn't even think about Instagram, but, I mean, that is just devastating. It's so sad. It's so scary, but it could happen to anybody.
It could happen to anybody. And again, you know me, my brain goes practical. My brain goes, you know, how do we learn from it? How do we apply? Why kids and anybody who's listening, Why is the phone in the room? And listen, everybody's going to disagree. Everybody will have their own things. Phones shouldn't be in the room. Phones in the bedroom are going to equal bad things for any kid. Any kid, the best kid, the worst kid, whatever. It's not going to end in well because they're going to be up. You got nothing to do. You get bored. I can tell you from experience back in the day, I had nothing to do. I'm bored. I'm sitting in bed. That's when I'm starting looking at websites I shouldn't look at. That's when I'm starting to text people that I don't need to be texting. Like, there's nothing good that comes of it. Have a hard and fast rule in your house that the phone, when they go to bed, stays downstairs. The phone goes with you. You have the phone. This is obviously to a 30,000th degree of
worst case scenario
yeah, of what can happen. But every single night, something bad can happen. Every single night, they have access to porn. Every single night, they have access to people that can influence your child for the rest of their life that you have no clue who they are. Think about that. They can influence them for the rest of their life, how they think about certain things, how they see certain things by one click, by one tap. And this is horrific. I mean, this is awful. This is absolutely terrible. But the problem is you could find a lot of these stories.
Well, man, Lindsay sent me that yesterday, and just last night I sent it to a bunch of people who sent it to a bunch of people, and people are already responding back. Yeah, I heard about this, I heard about that, but I didn't even know that was a possibility. Like in my mind, you don't want the kids to have the phones because of pornography. Like they might see pornography, or it's keeping them up, they're not getting their sleep.
Yeah.
But this whole idea that someone could reach out to them and message them through Instagram, like that, I didn't even know that was possible.
I hope that person goes to jail.
Yeah, they're trying to find him.
I hope so.
And
but
I think, and he even says, because they were asked, she was asking the dad, like, what would you do differently? And I can't even put myself in that dad's situation, because you're thinking about the, if I hadn't done this or hadn't done that, or, but he was definitely saying the phones, like, there's no reason to have the phone in your bedroom from 10 p.m. till 6 a.m. And so our, like, Jesse's phone turns off. I mean, it goes off at 9:15, so she can't even, you can program those.
That's interesting. Ours is 9:15 too.
Yeah, it goes off at 9:15. And then, of course, her iPad's in our room, because there's other things than the phone. Oh, yeah. You know,
I would also say, and I'm not trying to be insensitive at all, but also if you have guns, I mean, the outcome might be different if he didn't have access to guns. It might have been something that you don't, you have an impulse and it doesn't happen if you don't have access to it. And make sure the kids can't get to your guns. I mean, that's another thing that I would take away from. But it's always such an interesting topic, and I hurt feelings all the time with the phone situation. But, you know.
Yeah, but when you hear that story,
hopefully,
then it's like, okay, so, it's a major wake-up call.
So what's your phone rules? You know, like we have an RO box, which is awesome. It's a box that you put your phone in. It's an app. It calculates how long it's been in there. But right next to the RO box, we have a frame, and it says Pollock Family House Rules. You know, and it says exactly, it lays out what time. It lays out when we're allowed to use our phone. It lays out, you know, when you come home from school, you do your, you have 15 minutes, then you do your work. And then you put your phone back in the box. You do your work. You know, 9:15, phone goes in the box. Like, having rules. And here's what's interesting, man. I have kids come over all the time. Two of Nicholas's buddies came over the other day. You know what they did, man? You know what Nicholas's rule is? We don't have another rule, a big rule, huge rule. Your phone doesn't go upstairs ever. Your phone never goes upstairs, ever. It doesn't ever go upstairs. And I love Nicholas's respect, because he'll walk up the steps halfway and he'll come back down and he'll put his phone on. And I love that. Two of his buddies came in the other day. First thing they did was put their phone on our kitchen table, face down on our kitchen table. Like, they didn't care at all in the slightest. It's how we do things. Yeah. It's our rules. But like that, just like we talked about, you don't give a kid a daggum set of keys and say, go drive at 16. You don't hand a kid a phone and say, go figure it out. Like, we need to be reading all of our text messages with our kids. I tell you what, man, we do a lot of learning. We do a lot of teaching with Nicholas off of his text messages. I mean, seriously, we do a ton of.
So his text messages come to your computer, or they come?
No, his text messages come to his phone, and we have his phone every night. His phone goes in the box, but he knows. We read his text messages every single night.
Could he delete his text messages?
He absolutely could. Like, he could delete it, but we've also told him if you delete the phone, you lose the phone. So if we find out you're deleting, we know how to look at your old text messages. So, and there's absolutely part of that, but he knows. He looks at his phone, and he has a quote unquote girlfriend. Whatever you want to call it, a girl that he talks to, that he never sees, never talks to outside of anything besides a text message. But like, it's been unbelievable parenting situations for us. And Lindsay and Nicholas has built a huge bond, because I'm like, buddy, listen, when it comes to these situations, your mother is the perfect person to ask. She's a female. She has the best advice of anybody I've ever met. Like, go to her. Feel great, feel safe going to her, talking to her about this, because she's good at it. And there's been so many situations that we've had, because, you know, it's interesting. Just like with other friends, we're like, bro, we don't go to negative town. You know, like, we don't, if there's a relationship in your life that's toxic and it's going to be back and forth and it's going to be negative, like, we're not going to allow you to communicate with those people, because that's not doing anything good for you, you know? But again, we're having great conversations about how to manage your phone and how to, you know, cut people out of your life, cut things out of your life that aren't going well. But I think it's really been good, because every single, like, he'll literally make a comment about, oh, did you see that so-and-so, his girlfriend, texted that? Like, because he knows we read it every night. But he's now gotten to a point where it's really cool that specifically with Lindsay, just going to her, asking advice, how do you deal with this? How do you deal with that? One of his texts, I thought, to his, you know, and I do the quotes every time, girlfriend. One of his texts, he said to her, he's like, hey, you need a William in your life. And William's one of his best friends, and he's an unbelievable example of an unbelievable stud. He's just a stud. He's a great kid. He's got an unbelievable walk. And he's like, you need a William in your life. And I was like, that's fantastic. Like,
well, I think what y'all have with Nicholas right now is what every parent should want is honesty and openness from their kid, and that they have someone that they can come and talk to and
about anything.
About anything.
Which is hard.
Yeah.
But I'll say this, in full disclosure, in full honesty, I think we have that, but I think it's more with Lindsay than it is with me. And I have no qualms about that, and I'm okay with that. And I want to forge that with my kids. Like I
would say Jolyn's probably the same way
that it doesn't hurt my feelings at all. And I'm going to continue to nudge Nicholas and nudge Leah to do that. One, I think Lindsay's unbelievable at giving advice, listening, and has such a discernment. It's a gift. She has a spiritual gift of discernment and prayer. She's got two that are unbelievable. So I want to forge that, and I want them to understand that. But think about that kid that, what if he knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, no matter what he did, his parents were going to have his back and it was going to be okay. He might still be here, you know? And that's such a hard example, and it's such a hard thing to talk about. And I'm not saying the parents are responsible at all. They're obviously not, but if our kids have that in their hearts and they're like, dude, anything that comes up, I know they got my back. And I do a really good job of saying that, but I don't do a really good job of showing it. And that's where, as they've gotten older, I've had to evolve and I'm going to have to continue to evolve, because can't overreact. No matter what your kids say, you cannot overreact. And if you need to repeat it, like, if you need to ask questions, I think a good thing to do is ask questions to buy time. That's what I'm trying. I'm kind of learning to do that. Like, Nicholas came to me and talked about, shoot, the way you opened this podcast, I probably could say the word, but he was talking about his friends and what they do in their spare time. And it's talked about now a lot. Like, masturbation, it's talked about now. Like, in eighth grade, it's talked about a ton. And he came to me and we talked, you know, a ton about it and all that stuff. And it was, you know, different conversation back and forth. And it was cool though. It was a cool conversation, you know, back and forth. But I was like, this is also something, buddy, that people are going to talk about a lot in eighth grade. I said, but it's going to go away pretty quickly. Like, this will get old hat and it'll be new things. Like, it'll be new things before, like, that are coming on, but you just got to, I had to ask him some questions and be like, oh, okay. So what specifically, you know, what, and kind of buy some time in daddy's brain to make it where I'd have an acceptable answer. And I'd say another thing too, to bring up real quick, and you can keep talking about this. One thing that is very prevalent, Lindsay sent me a devotion about it. I also don't want to raise Pharisaical children. And that's a hard thing that we're probably working on a lot is, you know, and I think parents, you know, if you're a parent that is always pointing towards other kids and what they're doing and that's bad and that's this, I think you'll raise kids that point towards other kids and say that's bad. You should, like, that's a bad kid. You know, that's bad. They're bad for doing this, bad for doing that. I think we start to raise kids that start to point fingers. You know what I'm saying?
Kind of like more self-righteous and
yeah,
and better than
and that. And I really don't want to raise kids like that because they have a dad that's not perfect and that's pretty messed up and that messes things up, but we have a tendency to want to share and teach and grow and don't do this, don't do that. But we got to be very careful with how we say it about other people because they're offered the same grace that we are. Mm-hmm. And I think one thing that, you know, it's interesting. This hit really hard with our middle school group the other day. So I want to share it because maybe it'll hit hard with somebody else, but the importance of telling people, like, there is no sin that's greater than other sin. Like, sin is sin, right?
What is easy for us to judge somebody else's sin as being worse than our
100%. Sin. 100%. And that's a little sin. There's no little sin. Like, sin is sin. Like, the big sins are forgiven. The little sins are forgiven. And I think we have a tendency to kind of, it wasn't that bad. you know, and we point to the little, we point to those other sins and those little sins, but those little sins a lot of times lead to bigger sins, right? And we've seen that happen in our lives. But I think a great example of one of the articles that Lindsay sent me was how you look at people that have babies out of wedlock in high school. I think it's very interesting because think about that. Think all of us think about that real quick. We look at people that have babies and we're like, man, that's a horrible mistake. But what about people that are having premarital sex and have gotten away with it?
Or someone who had an abortion.
Yeah. But we don't look at that as bad. We look at something's wrong. Look at that huge mistake that happened. But you could have done it. You could have been a part of it. You did the same exact thing, but didn't experience the same result. You know, like, so I think it's a hard.
But that's the culture we live in. That's the society. That's the.
Listen, I do it too.
You said something. I want to go back to about the kids putting the phones on the tables and the. And when you have guests in the home, they quickly put their phone on the table. I think one of the things we need to realize is that setting clear boundaries creates freedom. And our kids really crave boundaries because it gives them a tremendous amount of freedom. So the fact that they're not complaining about it, they like the boundary. They like the discipline. They know when their phone's on the table and they're upstairs doing whatever they're doing, they can be free to do whatever they
forget all about it too.
Because they're following the rules. And so now they're having more fun. They're not breaking any rules. I've used this illustration before, but you know, at the daycare, they had this playground outside and the fence around the playground. And they said, you shouldn't fence the kids in the playground. And so they removed the fence from the playground. Well, what happened? All the kids hovered to the center of the playground because they didn't know what the boundaries were. They were scared. They were fearful if something might happen to them. So they weren't having any fun anymore. Well, then they put the fence back up, and now the kids can run free. They can climb the fence. They knew they were safe within the fence, and they could do whatever. But if there's no clear boundaries and kids don't know what's safe and what isn't safe, I mean, you talk about Nicholas wanting to have fun and enjoy life. Well, give them clear boundaries.
Yep.
And then they can be free. They're not worried about what's right and wrong because they have clear structure, clear boundaries. And I would think that the kids coming into your house, they enjoy coming over to your house because it is a safe place to have fun.
Give them, I like that, give them clear boundaries. And then I would add, get the heck out of the way. Because clear boundaries, micromanage. Clear boundaries, have a comment. Clear boundaries, say something. And man, the older I get, the older they get. I guess I'm getting older with them. The older they get, just I can see it so much of how I screw it up consistently. Of just leave it alone, leave it alone, leave it alone. Like stop. Let them make their decision. Let them make an outcome and see what happens. I want it to inside. Just no. Don't do that. Don't do that. That's going to veer us that direction. And you're going to just let them do it. And I bet they'll figure it out and they'll do it right. But I'll say one thing, bro, you've been killing your analogies the last couple pods. The little weave, the fence analogy. You've been murdering the analogies, bro. You've been great. You've used some foul language, but that has been phenomenal. We'll forgive you for the other foul language.
I'm bringing my A game, and I definitely think we need to do some nice post recording editing.
I think we either leave it, bleep it.
I'll play around with it.
I don't know, but I think people need to understand what we said too, though.
It's hilarious.
I think that's a repentance thing with you and God that you'll have to figure it out.
So I think the biggest fear we have is that something bad's going to happen to our kids, and I don't want to scare the parents, but I do like at the end of that podcast that the dad brought up that the real war is against Satan, and that I've been talking about this for years now at church, but we're in a war for our kids' souls, and our real struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against It's against evil. It's the spiritual powers of evil. And Satan wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And he wants to, I mean, it's a humbling thought. It's an overwhelming thought that we have a very real enemy that wants to destroy our kids, that literally wants to kill our kids. And so we have to put a hedge of protection around them. We have to pray for them. We put them in God's hands. And I know you're laughing because...
I'm laughing because the joke you sent me, he sent me a comedian the other day. We got to put a hedge of protection. What's a hedge of protection?
Yeah, and he was talking... It's Tim Hawkins, and he has this little bit about the hedge of protection being like a shrubbery.
Yeah.
And it's like... How about a cement wall 10 feet tall with barbed wire on top protection?
How about a prison protection? Yeah. The prison fence with the wire on top, bro. Yeah.
Like, can't we do better than a hedge?
Yeah, just a hedge.
Can we do better than a shrubbery? Yeah, he was pretty funny, and then he was playing like he was Satan. He's like, how did you know my weakness was gardening? Or how did you know my weakness was landscaping? But I do think... We can't live in fear.
No.
And I think that's kind of the dark place you go with this is worry and fear and anxiety, and you're constantly, it overwhelms you. Like, because our kids, like my daughter's at Loganville High School right now. I mean, I have no control over that situation. Nope. I'm trusting the principal. I'm trusting the security there. I'm trusting the teachers. But ultimately, I'm trusting God. Like,
yep.
She's in God's hands. God loves her. He made her. He cares for her. He wants what's best for her. And we can't live in fear. We have to live in God's love.
Thank you for listening to this week's Family Goals podcast with Davey Pollock and Pastor Jay. So what are your phone rules? What regulations do you have in place for your family so that you and your family are not on your phones at night? I love how Davey said, just like you don't give your kid a set of keys at 16 and tell them to figure it out, you teach them how to drive. So in the same way, you don't give your kid a phone and just tell them to figure it out. You help them and teach them and set rules and regulations for their own good. I encourage you to think on these things and evaluate where your family is, how you're doing, and how you can get better and regulate and set rules for your household. I like how Pastor Jay said, the real enemy is Satan, and he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. The battle is ultimately against Satan. And we need to pay attention to how he uses certain things like phones and social media and other things to attack our family. If you found this episode helpful, encouraging, or entertaining, please let us know by subscribing to the podcast or by writing a review. You can also reach us on Instagram and Twitter @FamilyGoalsPod. Thank you again for listening to the Family Goals Podcast, and we'll catch you next week.